We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth. It is living, it is active, it is the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by His Holy Spirit. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Scripture reading this morning comes out of Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read to you from verses 12 to 17. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men, because all sinned. Before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, for just such a demonstration of your unmerited love. Oh God, you've poured out your grace upon us so beautifully, so wonderfully. We're in awe. We are. And Lord, as we gather around this word this morning, just for a few minutes, it's my prayer that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear and receive that which you have for us individually and as a body, so that you can mold us and make us, Lord, just a little bit more into that image in which we were created, the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh God, we wait before you. We wait before you. In His name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, there was a TV show, you may remember it a little bit, that featured what they called the Miracle Makeover. You remember that a little bit? One of the hosts of the show, they bring up folks, you know, at the beginning of the show, and they were just plain, average-looking folks, and they would talk to them a little bit, and then they would send them backstage for a complete makeover and the full treatment, hair, makeup, wardrobe, and they'd come out at the end of the show an hour later, you know, looking like, voila, they were really fixed up. It was hard to believe they were the same person that went one way and came back the next. Well, I saw one of those shows one time, and they had this biker, this Harley guy. I mean, he was really rough. Beard, the whole deal. He really looked tough. And he was selected for this makeover. And they took him back there, and they trimmed his beard, and they shaved his hair and his face a little bit. They put him in a suit. When he came back out, this man looked like he'd worked on Wall Street half his life. You couldn't hardly, I figured must have had a little makeup on there too. I don't know. Just thought about it though. Wouldn't it be nice if such a miracle makeover would really work? And we would have our makeup experts out here, and we could just, you could just one by one, we could all go out and we could be just remade right out there, you know? And after worship, we could, you know, come back in and we could all ooh and aw. You know, a little of this and a little of that, and voila, there we are, a new person, right? It would be nice, but it would be fake as well. Miracle makeovers appeal to us. They would appeal to us because we fantasize about having that perfect look or that new beginning. Start all over again. We could be. What could we be? We could see ourselves being remade, recreated, new, innocent. That's advertisers, they spend billions of dollars playing on that desire that we could be something other than maybe what we are. Oh, sure, we know that these things are only TV shows and that the best they offer is only imaginary. It isn't something that lasts. It's a superficial change. That really burly biker, he's still the real burly biker. He may not look like it, but the same guy is under all that new stuff. Same one. Unchanged. Because that's the best that man can do. But did you know that God offers each and every one of us, each and every one of us, a miracle makeover? You know that? Sometimes I'm not sure we do. Not sure I remember that sometimes. Not a superficial one. Not one that's going to wear off by the end of the week. Not one that's going to wear off by the end of the day. Permanent one. Complete. Every detail. The real deal. The real deal. That's what God offers. Now, God's miracle makeover is not just replacing our ugly smug with, you know, a pretty face. It isn't one that just decorates our clothing with something that, you know, we think we should have, the modern, most up-to-date style and fashion. It isn't about a new suit. It isn't about losing a few pounds. God begins with a new heart. A new heart. And from there, in due time, we'll make a whole new person. And then someday, a whole new body. A whole new body. Out of His love, just pure love for you and for me, God invites us to be remade. A miraculous makeover. It's hard to think about, isn't it? It's hard to imagine that God cares that much. Why me? 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, remember that passage? He's a new creation. Not an old one. Not just polished up. You know, don't just get the brass shiny again so it can corrode next week. He's a new person, a new creation. The old one is gone. The new one has come. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, it's a little late. It's a little late for brand new me. I've already tried that. For many years, maybe, I've already tried that. You know, I've turned over all kinds of new leaves. I've made tons of resolutions. I've joined the gym, you know. I've gone to AA. I've done all the things. I've even joined the church. Here I am. Maybe a bit remade, but pretty much the same old, same old. You know the problem with all that? I've tried this already. I've turned over a whole lot of new leaves. I joined the gym, or I joined the church. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Only God in His grace can give us a true makeover. Only God in His grace can make the past go away, can make sin be gone. We can't will it gone. We might want it gone, but we can't will it away. Only God can do that. Only God in His grace can heal the wounds and the hurts and truly set us free. And here's how He does it. The first thing He does is He forgives us for our failures. He doesn't ask if we're sorry. He doesn't make us grovel. He forgives us for our failures. When it comes to mistakes and failures, sin, we're all in the same boat. We do it. And in truth be known, often we enjoy it. It's fun, right? We're all in the same boat. We're all guilty. Romans 3, Paul says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." It's not only in Romans, it's also in Isaiah. It's all in the Bible. We're pretty much there. Toast, right? As I heard this morning. Toast. In today's text, Paul says in verse 12, "Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all have sinned." You think God is surprised by that? You think God is surprised by our sin? Do you think He's caught off guard when we mess things up? Sometimes I used to think that. I used to think that God was maybe surprised that Adam and Eve, you know, got kind of messed up in the garden. Until I was reading Scripture and it said that Jesus was before the foundation of the world. And I scratched my not-so-bright noggin and I said, why was a Savior in place before the foundation of the world? You see, God wasn't surprised. God's never surprised, I guess. God wasn't surprised. He's not surprised by the things we do or things we've done. Never. Because instead of fire and brimstone raining down on us as we deserve, instead of being burned to a crisp, you know, in judgment, we're given love. We're given grace. We're given mercy. We're given forgiveness. What a God. What a God. Look at what God says about our sin in Isaiah. He says, "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow." White as snow. In Isaiah 43, He says, "I, God, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." Now that I can make it happen. This I cannot. Cannot. In today's text in verse 17, "For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?" You know the story. Paul is saying here that sin entered into the world through Adam. Through Adam. The garden, you know, the apple scene. And with sin came guilt, the fig leaves, came judgment, thrown out of the garden, and a whole lot of other stuff that followed, condemnation, and death. Death. Physical death. Spiritual death, if you're not in Christ. And then God, though, sends His Son. He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to die on the cross for my sins, for your sins. He brought to us a gift, the gift of forgiveness. That's what Paul says right there in verse 17. In order to receive the gift, all you have to do is live it. Is live it. It's not a gift that you earn. It's not a gift that you deserve. It's a gift you accept. You accept. And it's the first step toward that new heart, toward God's miracle makeover. No matter what you've done, no matter what sin you have committed, God will forgive you. We don't deserve it. None of us do. But that's what grace is. God's undeserved kindness. So how do you experience this grace? What does it mean to accept grace when Paul says that? And the Bible says, well, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's just that simple, I guess. You believe it or you don't. The first step in God's miracle makeover is the forgiveness of our sin. The second step, and Paul says it right here, the second step is the gift of righteousness. He gives us the gift of forgiveness and the gift of righteousness. Now, righteousness is just simply being right with God. Easy to understand. Right with God. Paul wrote in verse 17, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. That gift of righteousness. Not only has God given us that gift of forgiveness, we've got this gift of righteousness. Two aspects, though, in one gift, this gift of righteousness. One aspect is that we're made righteous from a positional standpoint. He declares us to be righteous. He says it, we are. Simple as that. The other aspect is that we are made righteous from a practical standpoint. Not only from a positional standpoint, but from a practical standpoint. He gives us the power, in other words, to live a life that's right with God. The positional righteousness, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God makes a declaration, you're righteous. You're good. You're righteous. Now you might, you know, your wife might not agree. Your husband may not agree. You know, your next door neighbor may not agree. You know. But you are righteous in His sight, in God's sight. That's the only one that really matters. That's positional. Positional righteousness. Another word that's used in this passage is the word justification. Paul said in verse 16, the judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. The word justification means to be acquitted. It's a legal term. Declared not guilty. It means to be pronounced righteous, right with God. And I know for sure that when I made that decision and I first realized and recognized Jesus in my life because of His grace upon me, when I made that decision, there wasn't much righteous about me. There really wasn't. And yet God declared it. He said, you're righteous. Maybe didn't feel righteous. Maybe nobody around me said I was righteous. But God said I was righteous. You too. It works the same. It's just as if you were on trial for the crime that you committed. You did it. And the judge, even though he knows you did it, declared you to be innocent and set free because somebody else paid your penalty. Legally, you would be an innocent person. Even though you did it, because somebody else paid the penalty. You'd be legally able to enjoy all the benefits of freedom, all the benefits of not ever having committed that crime. That's exactly what God has done for you and for me. Positionally, we are righteous. We've been declared not guilty. But that's not where it ends. And too often, that's where we like for it to end. Practical righteousness. God's grace is at work to make my behavior righteous as well. He wants to change my character into the character of his son. You know, Paul described that for those who he foreknew, he also predestined. You remember that passage in Ephesians, or in Romans? For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. That's what we want, isn't it? Isn't that what we want? I don't know about you, but when it comes to dealing with sin, I don't really just want to get rid of my sinful feelings. I want to get rid of my sinful actions as well. I want to be free. I don't really like some of the things that I do. I don't like sin that much. You may enjoy it for the moment, but it's one of those things that has a bitter aftertaste, doesn't it? It's not enough to say when I lose my temper, God forgive me, so I don't have a guilty feeling for blowing my top. I want to be able to say, because of God's work in my life, I don't lose my temper as often as I used to lose it. I'm becoming bit by bit, piece by piece, more like Christ. I'm changing, you see. I'm being conformed, as Paul said. That's the kind of work. That's the kind of work that God does in people's life. You see it throughout Scripture. Moses, the murderer, became Moses, the spiritual leader. David, the adulterer and the murderer, you know, became David the king after God's own heart. Wow. You know, if David can do it, we ought to be encouraged. Really? I mean, look at what Moses did even. I mean, women, think about it. You know, Moses was a rascal in many ways. Abraham, a rascal in many ways. David, a rascal in many ways. Yet David, after God's own heart. Because God was doing a work in David, you see. God was doing a work in David. Paul, the enemy of Christianity, became Paul, the apostle of grace. God changes lives. That's what he does. That's what he does. And he does the very same thing for you and for me, and he will do it from the day of our receiving him as Lord and Savior to the day that we die. He will transform us and change us and mold us and make us into his image. And one day, when we get there, we will be holy. We will be totally righteous, not only declaratively, but practically. That's a day to be looked forward to. But also there's a lot of good days to look forward to in the process. He makes us righteous through and through. That's the miracle makeover. So if you're struggling with guilt because you keep losing the same battles with sin over and over again, there is strength available. Embrace the grace of God and let him fill you with practical righteousness. We have a big church word we call sanctification, somewhat related. We're bit by bit, or as one version of the Bible says, from one degree of glory to another, we are being transformed into the image of his son. It's not a complicated process. You simply start by saying, God, there's no way I can become holy in my own power. I need your strength to do it. You see, it's his mighty power at work in us, in our lives, that gives us the ability to become righteous. The book of Ephesians, Paul said, now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, that is what? At work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. God's miracle makeover. It is a miracle. It really is. Anybody doesn't believe in miracles today, that's one you better believe in. Better hang on to that one. And he does it by forgiving our sins and by giving us the gift of righteousness, positionally and practically, both parts. Thirdly, he does it by giving us confidence to live, assurance, hope. Look at again this verse 17. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? Three little words, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for you and me. He wants us to reign in life. That's part of the goal here. He didn't create us to live defeated, discouraged lives. He didn't want us just running around moping in regret and looking like the rest of the world. If we look like the lost, then what kind of a message do we have for the lost? You see? God created us to reign in life. You know, in chapter 8, Paul phrases it this way, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. I don't know how you do that. That's big. That's what God's miracle makeover does for us, though. That's what God's embracing love and grace can do for us. It gives us the ability to face life, to face life affirmatively, to face life with confidence instead of fear, to face life with hope instead of despair. It may be raining outside. It may be bad. We may have health issues. We may have all kinds of junk going on in our life. But no matter what all that happens, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to ever lose hope because of the powerful anchor of Jesus Christ planted in our heart. When your life is controlled by guilt, you can't greet each day with enthusiasm and optimism. When your life is controlled by dread, or, you know, oh, I just don't like this, or, oh, it's another day, or, oh, man, you know, you're going through all that. What bad thing's going to happen to me today, right? It doesn't have to be that way. God created us to be victorious in life, not defeated. He created us to, as Paul said, reign in life, no matter what is happening around us. So how do you get to that point? You embrace God's love, for sure. You accept the gift that he's given you, that third gift of being able to reign in life through his power. Like forgiveness and righteousness is not something you earn, it's not something you deserve. It is a gift. It is a gift. It's a gift you receive. And God is offering it to every one of his children. That ability to face every challenge with confidence. Accept it. Accept it. Accept that miracle makeover. And you know, some of us, we keep having to be partially remade over and over many times. And we can get it through the game show. It's not too hard. I mean, there's plenty of people out there. Watch TV for 20 minutes and you'll see half a dozen ads. All you got to do is do this or do that, and you're going to look like a million bucks, you know? 50 pounds skinnier, and just like that athlete. I love those ads that talk about put this cream on and that cream on, and all your wrinkles disappear and everything, you know. And there's a 40-year-old doing the ad. Yeah, get a life. When God comes into our life, into our innermost being, and cleanses us and forgives every sin, where God infuses his truth into our every weakness and allows his righteousness, the righteousness of his only Son, to be our righteousness, where God lifts our face and gives us the confidence and the assurance and the power to live life abundantly. That's the real makeover. And that's what we want. I like the way Eugene Peterson in the Message, the Bible that's called the Message, it's a translation kind of thing. He makes a few, verse 18 and 19, 18 through 21, I guess, in this, is how he translated. He says, here it is in a nutshell. Jesus, just as one person did it wrong and got us all in trouble with sin and death, another person did it right and got us all out of it. But more than just getting us out of trouble, he got us into life. Grace. Because God is putting everything together again through the Messiah. Invites us into life. A life that goes on and on and on. World without end.